Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Welcome back to Bad Movies Rule, the worst movie podcast ever recorded. And today the mayor is in session. We got Ryan Mueller in the house. Give it up also for the man who knows a little about a lot and a lot about a little. Dr. Ryan Matala is here. And for the first time ever.
First time.
Mr. Matt Mulholland is here in BMR Studio. Welcome, Matt. What's up, buddy?
Hey, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
How you doing, man?
Doing great. I was very excited to get the invite.
Yeah, so we are here on an off night. We're doing a mini episode. This is not a full episode, but there's something that's been brought up, at least a few times on mailbags. You have texted me about it a few times.
Yeah, I think I sent you a TikTok on it.
You sent me a TikTok.
Like, we have to do this. Like,
eventually we're going to talk about this. So I don't know if it qualifies as a bad movie, but I don't care. We're talking about Kung Fury.
I didn't care either after watching it.
Had you ever seen it before?
No.
You?
No.
Yo, I know you have.
I've seen bits of it, and I was like, can I get more of this?
Right, right.
Matt, were you clean on this one?
I knew about it when it was a Kickstarter.
Okay.
And I actually
saw
it when it came out, when it first was released in 2015.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so you have been on this since day one.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
all
I
right,
shared it
perfect
with people. They made a mobile game for it.
We'll get into it later.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, we're going to check that out.
Cool.
Right.
All right. So you came in prepared. You've got your notes. This is, from what I understand, I'm doing this trying to off the top of my head, which is not normal for me. But the director is a guy from Sweden, right? Or is it Switzerland?
Sweden. Yeah. I think everything was Sweden. Like in the credits, it was Sweden this, Sweden that. So. Yeah.
All right. So this was just a guy, from what I understand, that started a Kickstarter, was a filmmaker. I don't know if he'd done anything of consequence before this, but he had this movie funded by, it looks like 17,000 people contributed to this movie.
Yeah.
With this idea of making some kind of balls to the wall homage to 80s action. I mean, you can call it an homage. It's like everything about the 80s turned up to 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And got an impressive response. I mean, there's millions and millions of views on YouTube. There's apparently a sequel that's going to happen at some point. But tell me about your first experience while watching this, Matt. When the first time you saw it, what did you think?
I was highly entertained. It's one of those things where it takes you immediately from the start. Yeah. You're like, wait, okay, hold on, stop. I need to pause this and bring in some friends to watch this with me before I finish this entirety.
You got 2 minutes in, the arcade game started to attack, and you're like, I can't watch any more of this without my friend.
It was just with the cop car and the skateboard alone.
Oh,
I was like, done.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, done. I need friends.
Yeah. Okay. Like, hold on.
Yeah. We've watched a lot of movies where I can't imagine if I'd watched it by myself, I would have liked it nearly as much as if I got together with some of the guys and watched it. Because what was the last one we did, an actual watch party, was Desert Heat.
Desert Heat.
My God, if I had sat through that movie by myself, would have had a whole different take on it.
Yeah.
But I loved it because of that experience of watching it.
You almost walked out even with us there. He's literally standing by my front door, and he's like, I'm out. Like, if this old lady gets in this threesome.
I thought the old lady was going to jump into the threesome with Van Damme and the
close.
Two chicks from the biker bus.
Yeah.
And I was just not here for it.
She's like,
if this happens.
Me and Clint were like,
you guys can do the episode without me.
Room's crowded. She's like, I'll just stick a straw in my hooch and
Right. Terrible. All right, so what's the guy's name? I feel bad I keep calling him the guy.
David Sandberg.
And I looked at his IMDb, thought maybe this was like a launching point for him, but he's done exactly nothing since the first one came out.
Right.
So I'm interested as to why he hasn't put anything else. I mean, does it take 7 years to make a sequel?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know who's in the sequel, don't you? Did you look
this
at the
This is the only reason we're talking about this. It's to preemptively prepare for the arrival of Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Because I remember at the time you sent it to me, and I seemed hesitant to do it because I'm like, this isn't really fit what we do, right? Because
it's a short film.
It's kind of cheesy on purpose, right? Which is really hard. to rip on because we're primarily a roast show.
Right. It's not earnest, right?
There's not that earnestness about it. I mean, they do it, they play it straight as an arrow for the most part, which is part of why it's so ridiculous. But then when I heard that Arnold was in the sequel, I said, all right, let's do it because then when the sequel comes out, we can talk about it because we'll have already talked about the first one. Yeah. Right.
We've got a point of comparison there. Arnold have made the first one better. Right. You can judge after the second one.
Obviously, David thought that he would make it better because he put him, we need to make this another step above the first one.
Right.
Yeah.
Is Arnold, who's playing the president, apparently, in the movie. That's all I've seen is a screenshot of him and the filmmaker along with Arnold. He's got a desk that says Mr. President on it, and he's sitting behind it in a suit smoking a big fat stogie.
Arnold should be the president.
Right? This is what I'm saying. It looks like a peek into the world we should have had. After he got done, well, if we go by Demolition Man, when apparently some point in the future, they changed the amendment. Well, forget about the three seashells. changed that amendment so that he could be elected president because of his popularity at the time, right?
Right.
I thought, why hasn't that happened? After he got done being the governor, they should have amended the Constitution and elected the man president of the United States.
Yeah.
Think about where we would be right now, Matt, if we didn't have to suffer through the last couple of presidents and it would have just been Arnold.
No, that's true. That's true.
He'd be on his fourth term right now.
To be honest, I would also still vote. I would still vote for President Camacho.
All right. So let's dive into the movie. Now, there's not a whole lot of vitals. We can't talk about box office because there wasn't any other than it crushed it on YouTube and obviously did well enough that there's a sequel happening. I don't do any research, I don't know this. Did they get crowdfunding again for the second one, or did somebody come up and back it because of how well they did, and so now there's a studio or somebody with an open wallet behind them, essentially? Do we know?
I don't know.
The internet will tell us.
That
would have been good to
look up. Let us know.
Here's what I'm going to tell us.
If you've been listening to the show, we know nothing. Nothing. Okay? So if you want to reach out and email the show, the easiest way to do that is our email address is thisshowistrash@gmail.com. You can send us tell us all about your experience watching Kung Fury, what you know about the sequel. Basically, do our job for us, and then we'll retroactively say that we already knew that.
Pay us to do our job for us.
Patreon. You can jump on the Patreon, and we've got all kinds of stuff on there for you guys to check out, and more to come in the future, even more plans. The plans that are coming are vast and great, and you can be a part of it. Go to patreon.com/badmoviesrule and join up today for as little as $3. That cover all the bases?
No.
What else do you want them to do?
I want them to do? I want them to draw me a picture, not a penis, draw me a picture and send it in.
Dude, for three mailbags in a row, this guy has been on the physical mail train. I don't know why Ryan wants to get physical mail sent to him.
383.
Okay, P.O. Box 383, Burlington, Wisconsin.
Remember it.
Send the man
because
something
the
in the
doctor.
Mail just so
That's
I can stop
why.
Listening just to him complain about not getting physical
I need to do
mail.
An autopsy on the mail you send.
We can make it happen.
Send it in.
And like me, I'm on the Patreon, and That's here right. I am on the show.
That's look at this.
There you go.
And so if you happen you to be in Wisconsin,
look at us.
And you know what? He's already at the big boy table. Usually we make him start at the kids table.
There we go.
That's right. Give it up for Matt. All right, let's dive into this movie, you guys. The movie, as Matt mentioned a minute ago, opens up with a couple of skater kids interacting with the police, right? And the police pull up, and I'm just going to say as we go through this what happens in the movie, and it's going to sound ridiculous. I promise this is what happens. The kid rolls up with a skateboard, puts it slightly under the cop car, steps on the one side like you would if you were going to ollie, and launches the cop car. Flips it through the building.
Yeah.
And immediately, I think they did this to go, just so you all understand what you're in for here. Right?
Oh, and I love that right off the bat.
Yeah.
I'm like, that was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm all in, right? Like, I wish I had people to go and grab to watch this.
I'm watching this over my lunch today, and I'm like kind of eating some pizza, and I'm watching. All of a sudden, that happens, and I'm like, okay, I'm done eating my pizza. I'm just going to watch.
I can't do anything at
Snap
the same
in.
Time as this.
Wait, what?
Snap in.
Yeah, I did not do the Clint Bush. I put my phone away as soon as that cop car got flipped by the skateboard, so...
We can't get Clint to watch a movie without his phone.
No, you can't.
Just watch the movie on your phone.
They should send some sort of phone lock device in the mail for Clint.
Be perfect.
There you go. Oh, yeah. In the mail. Yeah, physical phone lock device for
Clint. Like an OtterBox that has a time lock or something.
So you didn't do what I tried to do, is I tried to drag my wife into the room and go, you have to see this.
Mine was already
in the
room.
That's a bad idea.
She was already in,
she was already in the room.
Did she watch it?
Yeah.
What did she think?
She didn't say too much other than...
Okay, can I take a guess?
She just stared in rapt attention.
I think she did, yeah. She probably thought it was crazy, but she didn't say. She honestly didn't say much.
Okay.
My wife would have just gone, I guess it's just not for me. I don't get it.
I can no longer. Your wife has lost all credibility.
Sorry. Hey, she likes the Princess Bride finally.
Oh, okay, fine.
About time.
James, here to give you a little bit of background here, Matt. His wife liked Firebirds. I don't know if you ever saw Firebirds, a Nick Cage helicopter movie.
Don't watch it.
Liked Hands of Steel. Thinks Last Starfighter is a pile of garbage.
It is, though.
Okay?
Be fair.
So,
we're not starting out.
At that point, I said, you've lost all credibility in what kind of... she's got a long way to go to earn it back, is all I'm saying.
I don't disagree.
Okay.
I love you. Right. Please don't leave me.
So did you watch this? You said you watched it with friends the first time?
The first time, yeah.
Okay. I wish I could have done that. I can't imagine going through this whole thing with a bunch of people in the room. It was raucous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you know, and it's fun. And even before I left, my buddy come over and said, hey, I have to watch this. So I'm going to go do this podcast. So you're going to watch this with me, too.
Nice.
And he's like, are you serious? And and he's Jewish. I'm like, you're really going to get a kick out of this one.
You're going to like this.
You're really going to like this one.
Yes. There's no spoilers, but yeah, there's something that happens that you're going to be on board for. Yeah, so we can get there. The plot, I laugh to even say that word in accordance with this movie, but the plot starts off with basically an arcade machine comes to life after the kids that were playing the arcade machine, not even kids, they were adults, kick the thing. Right? Yep. And then it sprouts arms and legs.
Yeah, it
does the
off.
Maximum overdrive. It says F U.
It does. Comes to life and starts to murder everyone in the vicinity.
But not just any murder. Oh, no. Double gun salute. And then guns literally come out and laser
and
people.
That's right.
Then he runs out, and then he has to grab some coins.
That's right.
Right.
Fill up.
He's got to fill up his coins.
They did follow the one rule, though, for movies.
What's that?
He grabs the dog. The machine, and he's about to kill it.
Yep.
Yes.
And they saved the dog.
Kids and dogs, right? And so I was wondering that when he picked it up. Like, are they going to try to establish right away we're not following any of the rules? But they didn't kill the dog.
Yeah, they followed the rule.
Because Kung Fury gets a phone call. He's there in talk about following rule. I go, oh, they know the saxophone rule.
Yeah.
We talked about this before.
Yep. I was like, oh, here
apartment.
We go.
Yep. His girlfriend is there, and it's all saxophone.
We had the saxophone.
Yep.
I'm like, well, thank Charles God if somebody's making a parody of 80s movies that they at least know the rules.
Right.
Yeah.
And all.
They hit every beat, dude.
Nothing that happened was a love scene in that scene, but the potential of it was there, and so there has to be a saxophone.
Where are you going?
Yeah,
I gotta go.
Yeah. I gotta go.
Dude's voice was
That scene opens up, too, and all I could think of was, is this Steven Seagal's house?
Right?
It would be. If he could, that would be what his house would be like.
Yeah.
If he was at the height of his powers and endless supply, that was exactly. This would be his life. I bet Steven Seagal watched this movie and was like,
it brought back memories for him.
I think I don't think he was disappointed. I think he was like, wow, they documented my life.
He said that too loud. Wow, they documented my life. He whispers every line of dialogue that he has. All right, so he leaps out of his apartment and the gullwing door of this Lamborghini opens, but he somehow is able to, I'm not sure how Lamborghinis work, but he lands inside the car from straight above it.
Yeah, he just gets sucked in. Door opens, vacuum, sucks him in. Yeah, that's how that works.
He shoots it open.
He does. Thank you for reminding me.
Why would you shoot your Ferrari?
Why anything?
It's a new feature.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
you know, apparently we find out later in the movie that the car is sentient, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And so why not just shout down to it as you're falling?
Hoff 9000, right?
Yeah, Hoff 9000.
And that actually was David Hasselhoff.
Which is
David
Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Did you watch the music video he made?
I didn't yet.
There's a music video?
There's a music video.
David Hasselhoff literally made a whole separate music video for this movie.
Damn, okay. I'm going to have to go look for it now.
All saw like a bunch on IMDb and I was like, I'm going to come back to all these.
it's a lot. It's like 4.5 minutes long.
My music video.
So it's like a legit music video.
That's awesome.
all right, so he shoots his Lamborghini open, his Ferrari, yeah, whatever it was.
New pistol open. The pistol. Some people have remote start. He had pistol start.
There you go. Perfect. It does start it, too. He takes off down the highway, the skyway. It's like he's driving through the sky anyway.
Yeah.
Ends up. How do I? It's hard to even explain.
He launches off a ramp.
Yes. Okay. Launches. He's airborne. He gets out of the car onto the roof.
Yep.
Is shooting at the arcade, riding his airborne Ferrari
like a skateboard. Yeah.
It nails the arcade machine. He puts two in him, space Yakuza style. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
And the arcade machine is dead. Okay. Yeah. We think the threat has been neutralized. This whole thing is over.
It's done.
It's done. He's done his job.
Well, it does that whole. Your VHS tape has been worn out, skipping around to different
they're fighting.
Fighting scenes. I love that. The fact that they used the tracking going wonky as a transition to different, like they're fighting on the crane, then they're fighting
on a helicopter. Then he's in space.
Yes.
He's jumping off the satellite.
Yeah.
Thank you for not letting me forget that. The impressive use of that 80s, because anybody, and did you grow up with VCRs and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know you're not like,
old.
20 years old. You're old-ish. Yeah. Not as old as we are.
Right.
Okay. But anybody that had gone through a significant chunk of their life watching movies on VCRs, even though it had been such a long time, I immediately was like, yes.
I know exactly what's about to happen.
Right? Oh my gosh. That was perfect. So speaking of 80s tropes, okay, the first scene, he's back at police headquarters, and the captain wants to chew him out because of all the destruction and everything he causes.
As soon as he jumped in, I was like, yes, they did it.
And of course, the way to solve this is you've got to take a new partner.
Right? The partner.
Gotta have it.
Love the partner.
This has been done 47,000 times.
Not like this.
Even in Last Action.
I like this, though.
Even in Last Action Hero, they kind of made fun of this, right? They're like, all right, your partner with the ghost of Humphrey Bogart. You got the cartoon cat voiced by Danny DeVito, right?
Yeah.
And so, sure enough, same thing, same kind of joke, but it's still great, is his new partner is Triceracop.
Yes.
Well, and the chief's like, I got the mirror so far up my... I wanted to write down the line. I forgot to write it down. But he did the same thing every time. It's the mayor's up his butt. Like,
yeah.
$50 million of damage.
Yeah. I'm the only cop that could have done it.
I work alone. That's right. I only work alone. And this week we get a flashback as to why he doesn't want to have a partner, because he had a partner.
Who's the same age. And you're like a father to me.
And they're beat cops. You're the best partner I ever had. It's probably your only partner.
Been on the force a week.
That's a good point. And they're fighting this kung fu master, all right, who looks like the guy that installs HVAC, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like...
It's Joe Gorotowski.
It looks like... American Ninja is what I thought of immediately, right? This is like the whitest... He's like this white ginger dude. He's a kung fu master. No offense to you.
Not taking it.
Okay, but they have this fight. He turns to his partner. He says this heartfelt thing about you're like a father to me.
Yeah.
And then the ninja, the kung fu master.
Oh, I love
this.
Sliced him. Yeah.
And sliced him in half, but not in half like at the waist, like in half vertically, like but from the side profile. I don't know if I described that right.
Yeah.
Where the back half of
it just
peels
like
and
a banana.
The tongue didn't get cut somehow because the tongue peels out, and you're like, how does that work? But it was cool. It was like.
That's exactly why they did that, just because...
Yeah,
because
it looked awesome.
And then Kung Fury says, I could tell he was dead right away.
Yeah. it's like a guy going into his house and his wife's shooting at him. Right. He's like, she was upset, I could tell.
It reminds me of that Naked Gun. You're watching Naked Gun, where Drebin walks up to Priscilla at the end, and Ricardo Montalban's got this giant machine gun.
Yeah.
And she's like, Frank... He's got a gun. I know. Oh, man. All right. So he doesn't want to have another partner because the partner, you know, got killed. And so what he does is he...
Well, they show
as he's
how
about
he gets
to,
powers,
as he's about
though.
To kill. Yeah. As he's about to assumably be killed next by this kung fu master.
Yeah.
He ends up getting struck by lightning and bitten by a cobra at the same exact time.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. That's how you get superpowers.
That's
if he had just been bitten by a cobra or just struck by lightning, he doesn't have a superpower.
Right.
Yeah.
But because both happen at the same time, he turns into Kung Fury. There it is. Kung Fury. Bob's gonna be mad we used his music for something else.
He'll get over it. He'll get over it.
All right. So he turns into Kung Fury. How does he kill the Kung Fu Master again? I don't, because he doesn't. He just explodes at one point, doesn't he?
No, he first he does a knock knock joke, which is reminiscent of every child.
I loved it.
Yes. Knock knock. Who's there? Knock. Goals.
He's so unsure.
I forgot
of the
about
joke.
That. Uppercuts him, right?
Yeah. Jumps up and then axe kicks him into a tanker that explodes.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're right. The tanker explodes.
That was great.
And then he took a shred of his outfit and wore that as a headband.
As a memento. Weird. Why don't you keep a memento of a guy who killed your best partner?
Yeah, like, right?
Yeah.
Take the guy's badge of your partner that got sliced in half or something. Right?
Stick that on your forehead.
Do it. Ultimately, that's kind of, he's like, I don't want anything to do with Triceratops. I work alone. And he kind of ditches Triceratops.
And he literally is a Triceratops head. And
we should have probably said that.
Yeah, Triceratops is a Triceratops.
But he is.
With a British accent.
From the neck down, a uniformed beat cop, right?
Yep.
Right.
But his hands, he's got like three fingers.
Yeah, he's got like Triceratops.
And a Triceratops head.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so he's literally Triceratops. And just to move it forward a little bit here, how the rest of the plot gets into motion is Hitler calls the police station.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was sick.
No sense.
Wait, hold on. We watched Death in the Machine, okay?
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
We watched Ghost in the Machine.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
They're using Ghost in the Machine.
That's what they're using.
Maximum overdrive.
The fact that, that they can go through electrical wires to control things.
Hello, is this the police?
F you.
Just so you understand, he shoots into the phone that he's holding physically in his hand.
It's a cell phone, too. It's
the
not even wired.
Rick from the 80s, though.
Yeah. The bullets travel out the receiver on the other end in the police station, murdering about 12 cops.
The phone stands
maximum
up.
Maximum overdrive style.
Yeah.
The soda machine.
It hits the chief in the head, and then the phone drops on the table and is standing upright and bouncing around as it's shooting and shooting everybody in the police force.
That's right. That's right. And until Kung Fury busts in and blows blows the phone away.
Yeah,
he shoots the phone. The phone like...
Tell my wife.
Tell my phone wife that I love her, basically. I mean, at that
tell
point,
her not to use all my minutes.
It would have fit the tone if they had just done that. Right. Yeah. It would have been fine.
I was expecting the bullet to go back out, though, and Hitler to, like, dodge it, though, or something.
Yeah, something, but it only goes one way.
It's one way.
It's a one-way call.
It's called them collect. do you accept these bullets?
I mean, I'll do it.
Only people of a certain age even know what a collect call is,
right.
Sadly.
Yeah.
It's the, you used to call a number, and then you'd say, practice is over, come pick me up. And then they would hang up quick, and that's how we used to collect calls back.
Got him.
Saved a dollar. All right. So what ends up happening is I'm trying to wrap my head around how to say this in a way that's going to make sense for people. Bottom line is somebody explains to him who Hitler is and how he rose to power, that Hitler has a new backstory, that he was a Kung Fu master back in the 1940s, right?
Yep.
And
he was so good, he changed his name to Kung Fury.
That's right, Kung Fury.
Yeah, he wanted to be the Kung Fury.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And so Kung Fury deduces that he has to go back in time to kill Hitler him. Before now to stop him. And he doesn't know how he's going to be able to do that, right?
I'm going to need some sort of time machine, I guess.
Yes. And so enter the greatest hacker in the history of the world,
I think is
what they called him.
That this is what this was from, because I've sent that GIF to about 1,000 people.
The Hackmaster one?
Yeah, it's a Hacker Man.
Hacker Man.
Hacker Man, the intro to Hacker Man made me laugh more than Triceratops, Kung Fury, any of them. Just from a filmmaking standpoint.
Yeah.
Which is where I come from doing this. I mean, pause button in what we're doing here, but this guy's living the dream of every independent filmmaker, is he had this dumb idea, got enough people to give him money for it, and then put it out there, and everybody loved it. I mean, that's like the indie filmmaker dream. And it looks like a lot of these people were his friends. Yeah. And a lot of them weren't actors, you could tell. But they did a good job. I'm not ripping on them. I'm just saying a lot of these guys use their friends because that's who they have, right?
Right.
Yeah, you got Hasselhoff, but most of these people are people you've never seen in your life. So the Hacker Man's slow turn to camera and like kind of messes up the intro, but it works for his character. I died. I thought it was the greatest pitch perfect thing in the entire
movie. And then the very slow raise the glasses.
Yeah, it played well because he's supposed to be this nerd that is already awkward. So it's just like where's the camera? Where am I looking?
Oh my gosh, it was so great. he does the other thing I've talked about. I know we talked about during Howard the Duck and multiple other things, these made up gobbledygook tech sentences.
Oh, I loved it.
Right. Yes. If I just download the upload of the and I
hack into the download. Into the,
whatever it is.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, he's got that other line where Kung Fury's talking about Hitler, and he goes, Hitler, do you know who he is? Do you know him, sir? How do you not know?
He's like all confused.
Kung Fury doesn't seem to know anything about anything.
And if you read the screen, it was the E equals MC squared converter, which then turned into E equals MC cubed.
Yeah.
Wait, you're talking about you were reading the computer readouts that were going on?
Oh, it was on the screen.
And he goes to type on the computer, and his hands are flat, and he's just wiggling his fingers lightly. And it's going JKLMNO, whatever. Like, it's just doing like random letters over and
over. Knowing that you're an IT guy, I was very excited to see what you thought about the hacking scene in this movie.
This is better than like Hackers, dude. This is so good because they just flat out are like, we're going to make this dumb. Like,
I love it.
They're trying to make it dumb. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
And the power glove.
He's got six screens.
And the Nintendo Power Glove.
The Power Glove, dude.
See, if you had that, you'd be a better in your IT job.
That's true.
It's 100%. It's proven by Hacker Man.
Imagine how much more work you can
get. I'm going to go order one on eBay. Get one.
Maybe we can get someone to physically mail you one.
Did you ever see them? I like what you did. Did you ever see The Wizard? Remember that movie, The Wizard?
Yes, with Fred Savage.
Yes, and they introed Super Mario 3 during that movie, and then they had the Power Glove, kind of the two things it was famous for. That movie made me want a Power Glove so bad, and then you get one, and it's absolute trash.
Yeah.
Okay? It literally was just a controller, and you had to press buttons on your wrist.
On your wrist.
And the movie, he's like controlling the race car.
Yep.
Like,
motion control.
Like what they would have later
like
the Wii. You know, 25 years down the road. But, oh my gosh, when they busted out the Power Glove, I was like, yes.
I know Nintendo's totally listened to us. So, Nintendo, why don't you make a Power Glove for the Switch, dude? Yeah. Like, you could have the motion controls.
Now we have the technology.
Right, technology
to do what the wizard promised.
Right.
True.
Okay?
We can build it better.
We can do it. Come on, Nintendo, you cowards.
Do it, Nintendo.
I double dog dare you.
I triple dog dare you.
All right, so... So he deduces, Hacker Man, that he can use a computer to hack time, and like a time machine, this is how he's going to send Kung Fury back in time to kill Hitler.
Now, the programmers of the computer, though, wrote into the computer, in case someone was going to hack time, a prompt to say, are you sure you want to hack time? And they did debugging too, because then it's like, you've hacked too much time. Like, how does the computer know? You'd get some random error. It wouldn't have, like, we know what happened.
It's impressive. They end up sending him back all the way to the Viking era.
And he's writing on the keyboard, though.
Yeah.
Like the Apple IIe keyboard.
That's great. They had all these 80s keyboards, or keyboards and monitors. And, it was glorious.
He jumps on top of a keyboard and goes through a wormhole into
awesome,
a grid as he's flying through.
It's like in the Tron grid, going into back in time.
Yeah, he spits out and he asks this cave woman chick riding a... What is she riding?
Not a dinosaur?
She's riding a wolf.
She's riding a wolf. She's got Viking helmet on. And he's like, what year is it? And she stops for a second.
No, because it's a, was it a laser raptor?
A laser raptor.
Like, that's what pinged him to be like, this is the right time.
Extinct for thousands of years.
And then she shows up with a minigun.
A minigun. And he's like,
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, she had the Uzi or something.
What year is it? She pauses, she thinks, and then she's like, it's the Viking Age. Like, they wouldn't even know it's the Viking Age.
Right, that's like going to the 1800s and go, you're in the Old West.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
No, it's just current day. Yeah, so he explains what, you know, I went too far back in time. This is what I need to have
I'm
happen.
A cop, which you totally I'm know what that is.
And I need to kill Hitler because
yeah, because you know
is.
Who that is.
Well, I need to get to Nazi Germany, right? She's like, oh, yes, yeah. I understand, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I got someone that can help you.
I have someone that can help. And this other Viking chick comes in, and she's the one riding the dinosaur.
Yeah, she was riding the dinosaur.
They ride off together to go see Thor. Or is it Odin?
Thor just shows up.
It's Thor. Yeah,
he just shows up. They're sitting there.
He's got the hammer. That's
Yeah.
Thor is a 25-foot tall Viking wearing a diaper, okay, right. And nothing else. He's shredded, but he's like old man shredded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it looks a little bit off, but right. It's still
like
impressive.
Those online ads of like this 60-year-old man, you know, doctors are mad that he's so shredded and his muscles look wrong. He starts flexing his pecs and they disappear.
Yeah, he's like check out my pecs.
I was like, I don't want to check them out, dude. They look weird, bro.
Kissing his biceps. Yeah,
he was great.
And he was like, oh, I can get you back to the Nazi.
I got you, fam.
No problem.
I got you. Let's go.
Yo, stop. Hammer time. Portals.
You have to, if you haven't seen this, you got to go see it, guys. Only 30 minutes of your life. It feels, there's so much jam packed into it. It feels like an hour. I don't say that as a criticism.
In a good way.
In a good way, it feels like you've watched an hour long movie.
Right.
It's a 30 minutes.
Every scene is, there's something, right?
Yes.
It's just awesome.
So Thor gets him back to Nazi Germany. Okay. And this is my favorite scene in the
this
whole
movie.
This
was awesome.
Is the two guys talking about their mustaches.
Yes.
In a movie,
in German.
In a movie that's just nonstop insanity and action, there's this suddenly low-key dialogue-driven
like sitting
scene.
At a bus stop
like
or something.
Sitting at a bus stop. Like the movie has just stopped.
Okay? Yeah.
And we're going to listen to these two German guys talk about their mustaches. And it was my favorite scene in the entire movie.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
You look like you fell into a hairy butt with glue on your lip.
That's right. What are you going to cry?
Right.
Your
mustache is the one.
He gets one tear. Yeah.
He's crying, wiping away his tears. That was so well done.
He was better though because it wasn't Beastmaster tears. That guy had.
No, he knows what's up.
Yeah.
Right. Like he found that friend that he knows that can cry on command. Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I need you. Can you grow out your beard and just shave it into a stupid mustache?
Right.
For one day, and then we'll shoot this scene. Then you can go shave it off, all over again.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
That's what took so long to make the movie. They're waiting his beard to grow.
Waiting for his friend's beard.
Right.
We have to wait for him. He's the one that can cry. Then he goes, all of a sudden, he goes, wait, where's the tank?
It's right next to them.
Kung Fury is holding it up like a sword by the turret, by the big giant, you know, and just smashes it down. And I was sad that these two guys got killed.
They're Nazis, James.
I understand that, but they, in the span of a minute and a half, made them endearing, at least the one.
Yeah.
Endearing.
Right.
I didn't want him to get killed. But it's fine. We're watching Kung Fury do his thing.
Yeah.
You know.
And he says... Thank you.
That's right.
Yeah. This is his other line.
This is why they need Arnold in the sequel.
Right. Absolutely.
That's 100% an Arnold Schwarzenegger line, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Oh my gosh. I can't wait. Kung Fury, we need you. This is the president of the United States.
Get here now.
Get here now. That's how it's gonna be. He's gonna be in one scene, probably, right? And it's just like it's gonna be
every trope Schwarzenegger they're gonna pack into about a minute and a half.
Yeah,
you know that's what's coming.
You know they got him for an afternoon or something.
And yeah,
I mean if he's in more of it, great. But that's what I'm expecting.
Right.
Yeah. But he's gonna be like,
can't wait.
He's gonna be like, yes, I know Thor. He's got a fantastic body. I can't do the
Listen
voice.
Listen to me. Thor told me, look at this guy here. Look at this pecs. He's fantastic. Look at this guy here. Look at him. Sorry. All right. So Kung... Okay. Long story short. This is like our review is going to end up being longer than the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Long story short, he gets to the big giant Nazi rally where the Fuhrer, the Kung Fuhrer,
Kung Fuhrer.
is Kung Fuhrer. Up there doing his karate moves in front of what looks like... 500,000 gas mask wearing. You know, he had three dudes, and they just extrapolated that into all these other people.
One.
Or maybe one dude.
I watched the making.
They had one dude?
One dude.
I was watching, though, and they did a good job so that you didn't see repeats. Every single person looked different because I was like paying attention because I knew it was lower budget.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Good job.
You can tell it's low budget CGI, and it's not a dig on it, right? There's like big budget Hollywood CGI. You're talking about Avatar, Avengers, that kind of stuff. You can tell this is done on a much lower budget. But if you do low budget CGI, kind of like what they do in Sharknado and that kind of stuff, but you do it in such a stylized way that it's not meant to look real,
right?
Then like what they did here, then it's passable, and everybody accepts it, and it's cool, and everyone's like, "This movie looks phenomenal,"
right?
Because they weren't really trying to pass it off as reality in any way, shape, or form. So
if you do it like Escape from L.A.,
those guys were like, "Yeah, we've done some CGI before."
Right. I still can't
believe something on a napkin
John
one time.
A room maybe as big as this entire thing that was just all green screen.
Yeah,
that's
and
all
they
did.
Had to keep repainting it because it kept like breaking and falling apart.
Oh no!
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Wow.
And so this whole long extended fight scene he does, this is what the mobile game was.
The 2D scroller.
Yeah, the side scroller kung fu.
Nice.
Part. Yeah.
That was the best part of the movie outside of the mustache.
Yeah, I love that.
When he gets into this Nazi rally and Hitler's like, kill him, and of course
like a video game.
It's like a video game. It all cuts to this side scrolling thing.
There's guys behind him, but he doesn't interact with them.
No, because they're like the background of a Street Fighter level, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like they're there, but they're not really there.
And you just I don't know, like watching it, you're like, this is great.
Yes. It's fantastic. I could have watched 10
That's
more
one
minutes.
Thing. He does a power punch at one point to the ground and knocks a bunch of guys.
I'm watching, it's like, this is Mortal Kombat.
There's some legit good moves, some good martial arts and all that.
Yeah.
But even the ridiculous parts where he literally is just posing and they all run into him and die.
Yeah.
He's standing there for a second and everyone just falls.
Just runs into him and dies. Like, that's hilarious. But I was surprised this guy could move.
Yeah.
And it was
good.
Believable. And so he cuts through, I don't know how many guys.
He got to the end and he did the scorpion move, right?
Yeah.
He says, are you still using this spine? Because it's holding you back.
Yeah.
He rips it out.
That was great.
Use that one dude as a skateboard, flips with him.
Yeah, that was great.
I forgot about that. He surfed on the
skateboard.
He has to go faster, so
he kicks
forward a few
flips
times.
Him.
And just bounces him back and forth till he falls apart.
Yeah.
And then he uses his arm as a nunchuck, right?
Yeah.
That's right. this is everything you love. And I just think, I try to put myself in this guy's shoes for a minute, and I go, okay, you can tell by the way he made this movie that he loves the same movies that we do and the same eras that we do, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and just by the way he wrote this dialogue with the one-liners, like, it's holding you back and thank you, he probably loves Arnold. And so can you imagine what that must be like for him to have shot an actual scene from a movie with the man himself?
Yeah.
And they've already shot it because I've seen the pictures of them together. It's not come out yet, but they've filmed it. I'm like, man, that's just got to be the greatest thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Ever. It's awesome. Sorry. And I'm gushing a little bit, but this is right up my freaking alley. So he cuts through all these dudes, and out of the podium that Hitler is standing behind, the emblem folds down and a Gatling gun comes out.
Yeah.
And Hitler just shoots and mows down some of his own guys and then kills, so we think, Kung Fury, because there's a bunch of bullet holes center mass.
Right.
And he's like, oh no, I was this. I'm not supposed to die. Poof, hits the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. first of all, before we get to what happens to him in the afterlife, all his friends show up. Like, a portal opens.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thor comes through,
a T-Rex.
Hacker Man,
Triceracop,
the two Viking chicks.
They're all there, okay? And they start mowing a bunch of dudes down.
Hacker Man assembles like an Autobot.
Max Headroom face.
He's using keyboard to shoot.
I was going to say, what is that? Was that a keyboard?
I think so.
And people get pixelated when they get shot by it.
Yeah.
So awesome. Again, I would have watched even more of this. But eventually, after they mow down their share of guys, there's a big, crater of bodies, and they see, oh no, Kung Fury has been killed. And this is when it cuts to heaven.
Use that term lightly.
Right. I'm just saying what the talking snake said it was.
That's true. He's not making that up.
But he shows up, and it's your mishmash of all the 80s cartoons.
Yes.
You've got, what was it, Mask with the vehicles and some G.I. Joe.
Well, so the thing that the snake comes in on was straight out of He-Man, those little hover scooters or whatever they would fly around on. And the animation style was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it even kind of, one point, switches to an anime thing at the end, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
I was really impressed that they were able to do all this, too. Like, because this is like a whole different art style. It's a whole different
thing. A minute and a half long, this animated sequence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that probably took months.
Yeah.
And time and talent.
That's probably all hand-drawn, I would guess.
Yeah, well, it looked like it was hand-animated.
Yeah.
Unless they've got...
Well, it looked like the quality of the cartoons that we grew up with, you know, which was that slightly blurry-ish, but still hand-drawn.
Yep.
Yeah, like the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
The cartoon one?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember the cartoon
Obviously.
One.
That one gave
me nightmares. The cave troll.
They call it a mine.
A mine.
All right. Sorry, we're going to get off on the wrong foot here. Okay, so he wakes up and he's in animated form, and it looks like he's in the middle of an episode of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and Thundercats and all the other things you can think of. And a giant cobra rolls up and says that he tells him he's in heaven. My name is Cobra. And he goes, but it looks so real. And the snake's like, yeah, totally. It's totally real.
Breaks the fourth wall and looks at you, too. Like,
yeah. What's up with this guy?
But the funniest damn thing happens is he goes, I'm a cop and you're under arrest. Because he won't send him back to Earth.
Right. Obstruction of justice.
Obstruction of justice.
Yes, dude. It was the best. It was the best. And so now this is when it kind of switches to anime. He like powers up Dragon Ball Z style.
Okay, yeah.
And just starts to fly like a flying kick towards the cobra when the whole thing dissolves and he's back in Nazi Germany and back where he was. And what happened? Oh, it was Hacker Man is the one that brought him back.
Yeah. I hacked the bullets out of your body.
He hacked the bullets out of his body. So Kung Fury is back. And this giant golden eagle that was a statue above Hitler comes to life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Flies down, tries to attack, but the T-Rex basically takes care of the golden.
T-Rex takes it out. Yeah.
I thought
it
was going to be this big thing, but
well, it's this little slap
back.
Fight.
Yeah. Yeah. They come back and the T-Rex slap fighting with the eagle's claws.
The eagle's claws are the size of the T-Rex's arms, and that's about it, right? And the Hitler comes down and he tries to talk his way out of it, if I remember this right.
Yeah, he's like, oh, we're both cool guys, you know? We're both like kicking, and he does like stupid kicks like he's trying to kick.
We both have red on? Yeah, that's cool.
We could be like brothers.
It took 4 hours to get that guy in that makeup.
No
way. Like Hitler.
Yeah.
Really?
4 hours.
Wow. He looked good.
He looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to go watch the make. I got to do a deep dive now on this, now that I've seen it. And just this is my first impression, but I'm sure I'm going to become obsessed with it after this. Be tonight down the rabbit hole of Kung Fury videos.
Right. Yeah.
But so I don't, again, it's all a blur. I don't remember how he got there, if there was a one liner before him, but he ends up kicking Hitler in the balls.
Yep.
Right?
We're so alike.
We'll finish each other's
balls.
What?
I remember it made no sense. That's why I couldn't gather it back into my brain. He kicks him right in the nuts. And then Thor finishes him off.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. The hammer.
Yeah.
He smashes
the eagle, jumps in front of Hitler, and Thor smashes both of them. And then he lifts his hammer up, and it's just nothing. It's just pit.
Like, oh, yeah. Not much of them left. And he comes up and he's like, I'm sorry I doubted you, Triceracop.
And Triceracop's like, you're my best partner ever.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you're the best partner I've ever had. And it's like, just F you to his old partner. Right.
But then he says, I love you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Whoa.
So the second time you've ever talked to each other, but that's cool.
Right. I came back in time because I love you, Kung Fury.
Yes. What we find out though is apparently Thor's hammer just transported Hitler and the eagle and didn't smash them.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Because after this, they, you know, go back to regular time.
2 days before.
2 days earlier in the future.
2 days earlier in the future.
In the future, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. In the future.
We're back to the arcade machine rampaging through the town, basically. Yeah. Okay. And he's driving his Ferrari. He's about to go off the ramp and
Open the door.
And he's arguing with Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Open
this
the door.
The reveal that he's basically got the Knight Rider car, but Hasselhoff is the car instead of Knight Rider.
You never hassle the Hoff. That's what
hassle the Hoff 9000.
Yeah.
He opens the door. It replays the scene just like it was before.
Right.
He puts two in the arcade machine. But then he notices that some of the paint had come off the side of it, and that there was a symbol. One that he's like, I know I've seen this somewhere before.
It's a swastika.
The famous symbol maybe in the history of the world.
I've seen this somewhere before.
Where have I seen it?
You were literally just in Nazi Germany.
There it is. I forgot about the guy that hit the eagle in the shape of a swastika.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier.
Smashes it against
Kung Fury as he's kicking people's...
It's a body.
Headless body.
A headless body gets thrown by Kung Fury, and it splatters against the eagle statue before we realize it's a live thing.
Right.
And as it slides down, it leaves the imprint of a bloody swastika.
Yeah.
Nice touch. But at this point, we think, Hitler's alive. We don't think we're shown Hitler's actually alive.
Right.
He's flying around on his eagle in the present day.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so it zooms in on this, how the movie ends. It zooms in on Kung Fury's face and he goes, Hitler. Credits, basically.
Yep.
It's great.
So we're going to give it a big
great.
Oh my gosh. Incredible. Incredible movie. This belongs in its side category. It's not a bad movie. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't speak for you guys. Let's do what we usually do. Let's give this thing some awards. You ready to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. All right, we'll start down there with the mayor. Mayor, who you get for the Will Patton Award for Intensity, the one that we always give out, to the most intense actor, the one that has played the intensity of 1,000 Will Pattons?
Of 1,000?
No one can reach that level, but I'm just being dramatic.
No one can reach one Will Patton.
Right. It's tough to even reach one.
That doesn't make any sense, but nothing made sense in this movie.
That's true.
So it's fine.
That's true.
So I'm going with Kung Fury.
All right. That's fair. That's a vote for Kung Fury. Who you got, Doc?
I went with Balls. I mean, Kung Fury.
Kung Fury. All right. Just to be different, I had a feeling this might be a clean sweep. The guy deserves it, so I'm not going to stand in the way. But man, oh man, I loved Hacker Man so much.
Yes. He was good.
He was good too.
He was really good.
So dialed in, and he took it so seriously.
Yeah.
Which sometimes they confuse intensity with anger and being angry all the time.
Right.
I'm just talking about people that are just 100% dialed in and serious about what they're doing.
No, he did really
good. He did. Awesome. Yeah, he was good.
A lot of people in this that. Yeah. Did really well for being a short film, seemingly non-professional actors. There was few people that you were like, you could tell they weren't, but there were so many people that you're like, this is just great.
For sure. Who you got, Matt?
I gave it to the blonde Nazi mustache.
Yeah. He deserves it.
He's the only one who had actual tears. I was like, you really put the effort forth.
Yeah. You know what? That's not a bad vote.
That's not a bad vote.
That's
Kung Fury's going to win because he got 2 out of 4. So good job to Kung Fury, but man, not a bad vote at all.
That's a good vote. We did think of him.
Yeah.
He was good.
He was good.
Your mustache is the one that's... You couldn't even get his comeback out before he got smashed.
It's a tank.
All right. The next award we give out is one that you don't want to win. It's the Michael Dudikoff Trash Can Full of Dirt Award, the award we give out to the actor whose range was that of a trash can full of dirt. So,
man,
who you got? I got one. I know exactly who it is.
Man, there was a blonde and a brunette Viking chick, right?
Yes.
I'll go with the brunette Viking chick.
The one riding the wolf, the first one.
Barbarianella or something.
Barbarianella.
No, maybe it's the second one. The one riding the
second one.
T-Rex.
I thought the second one did much worse than the first one.
Yeah, the second one's who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
Blonde.
The blonde. Yep,
the All blonde.
Right. That's fair.
That's a good one. I chose the chief. I liked his intro, his voice intro. No, hear me out. I liked his voice intro. I did like that. But then when he was talking like back and forth, it was kind of weak. You know?
Look, man.
I'm sure he's their friend. And
Kung Fury's first partner, that guy was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
That's true.
I'm not even convinced that was him. Like, I think he dubbed his voice.
It looked like it because his mouth was moving and it didn't look like it was to the words that he was saying.
He must have done so bad that
they had to dub it.
I know he was in one scene. I don't want to pick on the guy, but I thought everybody else did pretty good. What you got, Matt? You could break the tie here. We got a three-way tie.
Honestly, I originally thought maybe the police chief was originally going to be what I was going to go with.
Okay.
And then I realized that he fit all the trope perfectly. So yeah, I actually chose Kung Fury's first partner.
Yo, let's go.
I didn't even think about him because that's part of that thing, though. He could have been a trash can.
He could. You might as well. Could have been a cop trash can with a badge.
That would have been the best trash cop.
You're the best cop I ever worked with. It's just a trash
can. Trash can.
Trash cop.
And it could
You're
going to
work with your new
cop.
Partner, Trash Cop. I work alone.
Keep him away from raccoons.
You pretty much will be working alone.
My last
with Trash
got
Cop.
Killed by raccoons. Was murdered by the bandits. The trash bandits.
All right. So the next thing that we do is we talk about this is divorced from quality, meaning it could have been because they were so terrible, but what were the three performances that you enjoyed the most in this movie? Yeah. You got your top three over there?
I got
there?
My top three.
Mayor, hit me with them, buddy.
We're going with, let's go with, we'll go with Hitler 3, Hacker Man 2, Kung Fury 1.
All right. Nice. Yeah. Nice, nice.
I had like six people that I wanted to choose. And
there
I know
really
I can't
were.
Do that.
There's a bunch
There's so
of just ridiculous.
It was great.
So good, yeah.
But I did go with Hitler as 3. Hackerman is 2 and Kung Fury. Yeah.
Nice. That's 2 in a row. Yeah. All right. Well, look, I will put Kung Fury in there. Okay. He did a great job.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to put Hackerman in there.
Yeah.
But the one that I'll do different is going to be Mustache Guy.
Oh, yeah. He was good. He was guy. In
I
my
was thinking
li- was
about
like,
him.
I didn't
He's
know where
right
to put
there
him.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
He
was so good.
He was so good.
So serious.
Your mustache.
Who you got for your
I'm
top
breaking
three?
The mold a little bit. You know what? Cool. And I didn't want to be on a podcast saying I like Hitler, so I'm not.
That's all good.
He's not That's on my list.
We did Roller Boys, Day of the Rope.
We were saying Day of the Rope like a week. It's true.
I did number 3, the police chief.
All right.
Okay.
I threw number 2
go.
As Thor because he was just
Thor?
Ridiculous.
Sure. Yeah, he was ridiculous.
He was good.
He was good.
Yeah.
I didn't like his disappearing muscles creeping out.
Yeah, right? It was strange.
Check out my pecs as they get sucked inside
just
my
disappear.
Body.
Disappear.
Sorry.
And it's almost a clean sweep, but number 1 with Kung Fury.
Kung Fury. There you go.
He was good.
All right. So ultimately, guys, I think we've already answered the question whether Arnold or not would make it better.
He definitely would. He's going to be in the second one,
they
so that answers
that question
the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
They're like, right? You know, we could do this better. Hey, Arnold.
Right. Is Hasselhoff going to be in the second one?
Yeah, he shows up in the IMDb.
Perfect. Give Hasselhoff a bigger part. Make him part. They kind of seeded that at the end of the other one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then bring in Arnold and just more of the same. I don't think anybody wants anything other than more of the
no,
same.
Yeah.
No,
they did
no,
say no. It's going to not be the same storyline or anything. It's going to be the same universe, but they're like, it's not going to be trying to continue it or anything.
Okay. So he's not fighting Hitler anymore.
I don't know. But I kind of like that they're like, we're just going to do a different story.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So ultimately, we need to land on somewhere, guys. We have to decide, is this a good movie? Is it a bad movie? Or is it a bad movie that rules? And the rules to this, I think, don't really apply because of the way it's made and the tone of the film. So this might be kind of hard to do, but we'll do our best to use our normal parameters here.
Right.
So where do you feel, given that it's kind of out of the box for us?
Out of the box. You know, I'm going to say this is a good movie just because I had so much fun watching it. I mean, it's over the top ridiculous. It's not in the same mold of the movies we typically do where they're trying to make a seriously good movie and it just ends up absolute trash. They were obviously doing this tongue in cheek, but they, for the budget they had and the independent film, they did it really well.
Yeah.
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 So good movie, full stop.
Good movie, full stop.
All right. Where are you at, Doc?
Yeah, I got to say it's a good movie. I mean, it's just, I know that, like you said, the CGI, they did what they could with what they had. And they blew it out of the park. I mean, it's just, I think this is a good movie.
Where you at on this one, Matt?
It's a good movie. They were serious about having fun and keeping it fun, which made it entertaining.
It's true. I will join the chorus and say this isn't just a good movie. This thing is a freaking masterpiece.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I want more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just mad at myself. I'm mad, first of all, I'm mad at YouTube. Okay, the one job YouTube has
is
show me the videos you think I want to see.
based
on the stuff I watch, this should have came across a long time ago.
Right. Immediately.
All the dumb shit. I'm like, where was Predator the musical?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Never showed me that either.
Where was
they did
Predator,
a bunch of the,
did they do
they did a bunch of the musical ones.
Oh, the Terminator one.
The Terminator one, yeah.
Where's this? I watch all kinds of stupid shit.
I watch a lot of Arnold stuff, and they don't recommend.
Right.
What it does is make me wonder what other gems are floating that around on missing. YouTube that I have no idea about.
Here's my question. Is not only YouTube, but what about Google and Apple and Amazon and Facebook? All these people that are taking all my data. It's like, can you use this data for something useful, please? Like, showing me something I
want
to see?
I don't want penis enhancers. I want more stupid shit.
This guy watches a lot of Predator clips. Let's send him that boner pill ad.
I bet he's not very hard.
Immediately.
And Amazon's like, hey, you bought a toilet seat one time. Here's 75 other ones.
No, I already bought that thing.
I don't need another one.
I see you buy a lot of male clothing, so here's an ad for a really skimpy dress.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, all the time.
Oh, just what I need.
But it's $400,000, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll get their act together. But you know, you guys can actually help us. If you know about stuff,
send it in.
Tell us, because that's the only way I found out about Predator the Musical. We had one of our listeners write in about that. We've had listeners write in about this. We've had Ryan bother me about this, and thank you,
by the way. A couple times.
Thank you.
And you blew me off, dude.
I blew you off hard.
You literally were like, eh.
It's like, this is not a bad movie. But, you know, we've got a list of things we want to do for mini episodes that don't really fit, right? And so this was right. We've got one coming up called Wolf Juice. It's another independent film, kind of like Sewer Gators.
Okay.
But we're just waiting for them to have a release date because we don't want to review it before people can go see it. Like, no point in us doing a review on a movie you can't go see anywhere. Right. So we got Wolf Juice. That'll happen. That's a short film, along with a few other interesting ones. So we'll keep doing this every once in a while when we can and give you a little bit something different other than the normal trash that we have to sift through on a weekly basis.
Puns.
Right? That's right. Yeah. We are catalogers of garbage, and we will be apparently till the end of time. So on behalf of the mayor, Ryan Mueller, and Dr. Ryan Matala, and thank you for coming the first time ever, Matt Mulholland.
Thank you for having me.
The door is always open next time you're in Wisconsin. Where do you hang your hat usually?
Usually a little town called Bastrop, so right outside of Austin.
In Texas. Oh, okay.
Texas. All right.
Oh, all the way from Texas.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Texas listeners, aren't you glad I didn't know that a half an hour ago? I would have been doing that the whole time.
You did. I mean, I've said it in my email.
Have you? Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't remember.
Remember, I had my son digging post holes for
stuff. Oh, yes,
that's right. Yeah. Yep.
See, I remember stuff.
Steel trap.
Okay, I don't expect
it. Steel trap in.
Up here.
Lost the key.
I remember. Yes, and now it's all coming back to me. We just did our like 17th mailbag. It all blurs together after a while.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, regardless, door is always open. Thank you for coming up here and making the trek. And, you know, we'll see you guys on the next time. So thank you for listening. With the women and the heroes and the villains getting stoned.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.